Testing, testing. Does this sound okay? A real echo with it.
Good morning to you all. Happy New Year. Zehepok Mani Paduseo. A warm welcome if you're here for the first time. Please do stay and let us get to know you afterwards. The service this morning is being live streamed, so we welcome those joining us from home or elsewhere. Special thanks this morning to Christine Thompson, Ken Bartlett and Sally, who lead our morning worship. There are further opportunities for worship at 11:30 this morning and then 5 o'clock this afternoon. Just a few notices. The daily prayers start again this week, so check out the notice sheet for details of those. The building and the coffee servery open again from Tuesday. We have copies of the new URC 2022 prayer handbook. It's the Jubilee edition. If you remember, 2022 is the 50th year of the URC. They're a very good resource, £5.50. If you want one, please let me know. Just to remind you that we're still looking for a few people to help with stewarding between the 11th of January and roughly mid-February, when George is away and with his operation. So if you can help with that, please speak to Catherine when she's back next week. Finally, just a couple of points of people news. Sugin is still unwell, so please remember him in your prayers. And we send congratulations to Georgina and Finlay Forbes, who've become grandparents again. A grandson, James Alexander, was born to their son and his wife a few days ago, so congratulations to them. And finally, as always, please remember those who are unwell, who we know of and are at home. Thank you.
Please sit down. We've got an excellent PowerPoint done by Kate, which I hope means that the service can flow with me doing the minimum of announcing. But the communion, when that takes place, is not on the PowerPoint. So that's after hymn 188. So those of you who are at home, that's when you need your wine and bread, or possibly your coffee and biscuit. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. And we'll sing hymn number 90, O Lord, all the world belongs to you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear God, at the beginning of a new year, we look back in reflection and repentance, and forward in hope and resolve. We thank you that we live in a peaceful country, that we have enough food to eat, free education, and healthcare. We are mindful that we are very fortunate to enjoy these privileges that millions of people do not have. We thank you that we have talents and resources. Help us to use them wisely in your service. Allow us time to contemplate the true meaning of Epiphany, the realization that Christ is your true Son, the light to our dark world, our guide and Saviour. Resettle our restless minds, provide us with patience, and fill our hearts with love and kindness. Forgive us when we place more importance on the gifts we bring rather than on the gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for all our self-righteousness, all our condemnation of others, all our selfish exploitation of each other for emotional or material gain. In silence, we confess in our hearts the sins of omission and commission that only we and you, Lord, know. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and peace now and forever. Hear us now, Lord, as we say together the prayer taught to us by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And Sally will now talk about the introduction to our theme.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody at home. You can join in with this too, so if you've got any responses, just type them in the chat and someone at the back will wave at me and we can hear what you have to say as well. Right, well, I'm going to talk about travel. We haven't really been able to travel very much recently, have we? But I'm hoping that in the coming year, things might get a little bit easier and we'll be able to travel somewhere nice. Now, can you think of somewhere that you've travelled that you've really enjoyed? Esther, have you ever been anywhere really lovely that you enjoyed? Where have you been? What country have you been to? I know you've been on a, I know you've been away, haven't you? In another country. Can you remember? Oh, that's not another country, but that's a beautiful place. Devon. Yes. Was it lovely? Was it all pretty? Lots of seaside and lovely beaches. Fantastic. Anyone else? Bethany, where have you been?
Well, one place I've really enjoyed is Disney Orlando on my birthday in January.
You went to Disney World. Oh, do you see Mickey Mouse? Did you speak to Donald Duck and Pluto? Oh, lovely. Maddie.
I've been to Crete a couple of times and I love it.
Did a lot of sunbathing go on? Yes. And swimming and, oh, lovely. Well, I'm going, hopefully, if all goes to plan, I'm going somewhere really exciting. I'm going on a journey in May. And I've never been to this place before. It's on my special list. I have a birthday list, 50 things at 50, right? And it's full of things that I have always wanted to do and haven't had a chance to do, and things that I want to learn and all that sort of stuff. And this is on my 50 things at 50 list. This is my special journey with my best friend. We're going to go for a few days to the Isle of Wight. Because I've never been there. And most people go, you've never been to the Isle of Wight? And I thought, it must be a really special place. Because everybody's been there apart from me. So that I'm going on that journey. And that means I'm going to have to get on probably a train, then I'll meet my friend, then we get in a car, and then we go on a ferry across to the Isle of Wight, and we see the wonders of the Isle of Wight, whatever they may be. Lots of different coloured sands. And needles, knitting needles, cliffs. There's some nice National Trust property there, I think. So it's going to be a really lovely journey, hopefully. Some journeys are not so nice. Some journeys are difficult. Like the time I went to visit my parents at Christmas in the Midlands, and it normally takes about 2.5-3 hours, and the weather was so bad, I got home in 8 hours. That was a difficult journey. But at least I wasn't on a camel. Have you ever been on a camel? I've been on a camel in Israel, and let me tell you, it wasn't that comfortable. It left me with quite a sore bottom, Esther, I don't mind telling you. And that's what we're going to think about today, journeys. And actually probably quite a difficult journey for the people that went to visit Jesus. And if they were on camels, that probably would have been even more difficult. So I hope this year that you're going to get to go on some lovely journeys. Not difficult ones, lovely ones. And you're going to have some nice times as we approach this year. So Happy New Year, everybody.
We'll now sing the hymn, What Child Is This?, which will be on the screen. It's not in Rejoice and Sing. What Child Is This? Please sit down. Our readings are from Isaiah 60, 1 to 6, and Matthew 2, 1 to 12. And they are going to be read by Rhiannon and Rachel.
First reading is from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your hearts shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Amen.
Reading from Matthew chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is my shepherd, my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also do and bring him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Ken will now preach our sermon.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. The words of Isaiah about darkness covering the earth and thick darkness the nations of the world have resonance for us. We come to the celebration of the birth of Jesus this year at a time when the pandemic and the climate crisis overhangs our world, where we also look in vain for leadership and integrity from our government. And finally, where the gulf between rich and poor people in our country has reached obscene levels. The Bible does not deny the reality of the world's darkness, but summons us to arise out of despair and lethargy into hope and buoyancy. The power of the darkness is as nothing in the face of the light which has come to us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. So the prophet says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you." Are the words of Isaiah a celebration, or are they a command? Is the prophet saying, "The light of God is with us, let us rejoice in it," or, "The light of God is with us, and therefore we are called and enabled to live in a new way"? I think Isaiah means both. Rejoice in the light which God gives, but also use its radiance and power to live in a new way. The difference in time between our two readings for today is about 500 years. Isaiah had prophesied a time when wise men would come to Israel bringing gifts of gold and frankincense and would proclaim the praise of the Lord. Matthew's gospel records that the wise men did bring Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He also tells us that when Herod heard about the new birth, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And his fear can only have been increased by the prediction of the scriptures that the child born in Bethlehem would become a ruler who would be the shepherd of God's people Israel. Matthew tells how the wise men paid homage to Jesus and then left for their own country by another way, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod. As we read the stories around the birth of Jesus, we learn about the expectation that his coming generated. We start from the words of his mother, misleadingly described as a meek person. She said, "The Mighty One have done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has shown strength with his arm." As we read the stories around the birth of Jesus, we learn about the expectation which his coming generated. We start from the words of his mother, misleadingly described as a meek person. She said, "The Mighty Ones have done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." He here, even before the birth of Jesus, is the passion which was to turn the world upside down. When Jesus was a few months old, his parents brought him to Jerusalem, and there he met a man called Simeon. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, saw Jesus, and took him in his arms. He then said these remarkable words: "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also." Simeon's words describe very accurately the effect of Jesus' preaching. In the words of his mother Mary, he did bring down the powerful from their thrones and lift up the lowly. But above all, faced with the demands of Jesus, our fundamental motivation, our inner thoughts, are revealed. His revelation of the nature of God as one who lives with us continuously, sharing in our joys, but also in our pain and sorrow, transforms the way in which we must live. Our God does not override the events of the world, and we are called to work within the events of the world with the support and healing of his Spirit. This understanding of the nature of God's relationship to the world is fundamental to what we do. It means discarding many secular criteria of making decisions. Jesus teaches us that the aim of our life must be to respond to the self-giving nature of God himself. In secular terms, this looks very like losing our lives in order to find them again. We live in a world made by God, but the world does not recognize the birth of the one who is the light of all people. Only those who are given the eyes of faith will recognize the coming of Jesus as the revelation of God. The world we live in is a place of danger and darkness. The challenge for those who love Jesus is to remain true to his teaching within that darkness. We do not have his physical presence, but we do have his Holy Spirit, which is given to us forever and is like the breath of Jesus himself. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We live by it, but we cannot expect the secular world to understand it or sympathize with it. The Spirit of truth is inaccessible to the secular world, simply because it is the truth. The world neither sees it nor knows it. The challenge for us who love Jesus is to be faithful to his word, As we do so, we will receive a distinctive kind of peace. This peace, which is not the kind of peace which the world confers on those who conform to its standards. Significantly, Jesus says, "The peace I give is not the same as the world gives." Yet his message to us is also that we should not let our hearts be troubled or be afraid. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn."
We'll sing hymn 188, "Born in the Night, Mary's Child." Ken will now lead us in celebrating communion.
God dwells with all people. God will make a home with them, and we shall be the people of God, and God will be with us. This is the Lord's table, and everyone is welcome here. The wine is non-alcoholic, and there is a gluten-free alternative for the bread. When the stewards bring the bread, please eat it. And when they bring you the wine, please hold it so that we may all drink together. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for the bread of the earth, for food and shelter, for human toil and skill, for Christ, the bread of life. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be you, Lord God of all creation, for the fruit of the vine, for the joy and gladness of this life, for human care and love, for the gift of Christ our Lord and his sacrifice for us. Blessed be God forever. The Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We remember his death. We live by his presence. Come, Lord Jesus. The bread which we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Christ is the bread of life. The cup which we take, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? Christ is the true vine. The blood of Christ. We praise you, God, for the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation which you give to the world. With this food for our journey, bring us with all your people to the feast of your glory. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look on us with kindness and give you peace. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, we pray for those who are hungry beyond what we could imagine, for the people of Sudan and Afghanistan. In the aftermath of the Climate Emergency Conference, COP26, we pray for the leaders, business people, and officials charged with making the follow-on actions from the conference successful, and for ourselves, that we may do what is necessary, and in addition, hold them to account. O God, shine your light upon us, into those places of conflict and tension within our families, in our friendships, in our work and community relationships. May your light be a healing balm, bringing with it forgiveness and reconciliation. Shine your light upon us, across the common human ties that bind all people together, neighbour and stranger, friend and enemy alike. May your light remind us that we are all created in your image, unique and beloved by you. Shine your light upon our country and our leaders. May they govern justly and wisely, showing empathy for all, taking into account the needs and concerns, not just of the most wealthy and powerful, but especially of those who are poor, those who struggle with physical and mental illness, those who are forgotten and forsaken. Shine your light on all the places around this world where violence and war are found, for all people who are living in daily fear of their lives. May your light bring peace to those who languish in fear, violence, and despair. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One of the practices of our faith is giving of our time, of our abilities, and also of our treasure. Our churches have been different this year, but our discipline of giving remains steadfast. So we will now take up our offerings. Our final hymn is number 301, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And let us say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.